This is Jesus' concern today, that our hypocrisy leads followers of Jesus away, and it turns outsiders away from God altogether when they see Christians not walking the talk, if you will. You've heard that expression, if you're going to talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk, right? If hypocrisy is a spiritual virus, then what's the antidote? What's the antidote for the spiritual virus that we know exists? Well, computers have firewalls. We have AVG or Norton or any of a number of McAfee antivirus programs to help our computers. But what do we have? What do we have as God's people? What attitudes and practices might serve the same purpose for us? What kind of spiritual antivirus can we have? I'd like to offer a couple of suggestions for you, and you can jot these down on the back of your bulletin if you want. Let me suggest that small things can have a huge impact. Small things can have a huge impact. All it takes is one little file in your computer, one little downloaded message, one little downloaded bits of information can totally destroy your hard drive. Jesus knew this also. You'll recall that he talked about mustard seed faith. Now, I don't know how many gardeners we have here. Has anybody ever seen a mustard seed? How big is it? It's about the size of a head of a pin. And yet, when you throw out mustard seeds, you get nice, lush, beautiful green mustard greens. And I think in Jesus' day, they think that mustard plants were much bigger than they are today. Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do great things. You can move mountains. He also talked about yeast. Those bakers out there, you know what yeast looks like. Looks like sand. One little grain of yeast can, a small amount of yeast can affect the whole batch of dough. It can cause a small pile of dough to become huge as it expands, and it releases carbon dioxide and can do great things. Jesus said the yeast of the Pharisees can do great damage in the kingdom of God. My point here is saying that we cannot underestimate the power of our small, seemingly insignificant choices that we make. Each moment that we live out there, each moment that we interact with the world, each moment that we engage in some activity is an evangelistic moment. Did you know that? It's evangelistic in that people are watching us. They're watching us to see how we live out our faith. There was a bumper sticker that came to me this week from one of you that I want to share with you. Actually, not a bumper sticker, but it's a bumper sticker story. Listen to this story. Perhaps you've heard it before. The light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman was furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and her makeup kit. She was still in mid-rant when she heard a tap on her window and looked up, and the face of a very serious police officer was there. The officer ordered her out of the car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, the policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake, ma'am. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were still blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak. And then I notice the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker on your car, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, the 'Follow Me to Church' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated fish emblem on your trunk. So naturally, I assumed your car had been stolen." Makes you think. People are watching us. People watch our every move and hang on every word. What do they see when we discipline our children in public? What do people see when we talk about other people? Gossip. What do they think when we tip the waitress? Not very much. You know, remember that sermon about Christians being the worst tippers there are? Why is that? What kind of message does that send? How do we interact with the checkout clerk at the grocery store? And how do we react when we're cut off in traffic, when somebody cuts us off in traffic? Do we say, God bless you? We say something, I'm sure. You see, our lives are evangelism tools, folks. Paul calls us living letters, known and read by all. People see, what do people see when they see us? How well do we represent Jesus in the world? You see, we may be the only Jesus some people ever encounter. What kind of Jesus, what kind of portrait of Jesus are we projecting in our world Monday through Saturday? The second thing I'd like to suggest is authenticity. To choose to be authentic. People today in the world want people, Christians, who are authentic, who are transparent, and who are genuine, who really, truly care about them. They're not interested in Sunday morning only Christians. They want Christians who keep it real. The young people say, let's keep it real. They want the real thing. They want real Christians. People are looking for answers in the world today. They're seeking truth. They're seeking answers. They're seeking change in their life. Where are they going to find it? How are they going to be led to it? They're seeking a better way to live. And if Christianity is not truly transformative, I'm sure that those people can find something else to do on Sunday morning. A lot of new churches are taking the genuine, authentic, transparent route. I found three churches that have banners or signs on their church that say things like, no perfect people allowed here. No perfect people allowed here. Another one says, you're accepted here just as you are. And another one said, it's okay not to be okay. I wonder if the people of Lewis and Rehoboth and Milton know that Bethel Church is a church where it's okay not to be okay. That people are welcome here just as they are. Whatever it takes, let's reject hypocrisy and embrace honesty, and let's keep it real. Let's be real, authentic Christians in the world. And finally, let's consider apologizing when we realize we have been hypocritical. Let's consider saying we're sorry that we have done something that we know is not in line with who we are. Another bumper sticker. I'm a little leery of bumper sticker theology, but sometimes they're right on. They're spot on. Christians are not perfect. They're just forgiven. Remember that. Christians are not perfect. We're just forgiven. Why not apologize when we realize that we've been hypocritical? What's wrong with saying, oh, I need to ask your forgiveness. That wasn't very Christian of me. Or, oh man, I blew it. I'm sorry how this may have affected you. You know, one of the hardest things to say is I'm sorry. The only perfectly safe computer is a computer that's turned off or disconnected from the internet. Right? The only perfect Christian is one who has gone home to be with the Lord. For you see, you can't make any more mistakes then and be accused of being a hypocrite. And so the question before all of us, including myself today, is what do we need to do to make our lives and our beliefs line up with each other? What changes, what attitudes, what thinking do we need to change? Because you see, behavior follows thought. What changes do we need to make in our life that we could never be accused of being a hypocrite? Jesus calls us to be men and women, boys and girls of integrity, so that we might win people for Christ, that we might win them to the kingdom of God. For that is why the church exists, is to welcome people into the kingdom. Jesus was the only perfect human being that ever walked the face of the earth. We are not. But we are going on to perfection, to use a Wesleyan term. We are going on to perfection through sanctification. And we will make mistakes. But the good news is that God has provided that antidote. God has provided the antidote to our spiritual virus of hypocrisy by giving us grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. In and of ourselves, we cannot heal ourselves. It is only through what Christ did for us, through faith. And so now we are challenged as people of God to represent Jesus well wherever we go, that we may win one more, as Rick Warren says, win one more for Christ. Let us pray. Father, we all are hypocritical at some time or another. Our words, our actions, our behaviors don't always line up with who we say we are and whose we are. For this, Lord, we pray for forgiveness. Help us, Lord, as we go back to our jobs, our families, our schools, our interactions with whomever. And help us, Lord, to represent Jesus well wherever we go. For we may be the only Jesus some people will ever see. We thank you, Lord, for this reminder, but more importantly, we thank you for your grace and your forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And it is in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.